Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with sincere hearts to confess our sins to God our Father and to plead in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ for his forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord.
Who made heaven and earth.
I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord.
And you forgave the guilt of my sin.
Almighty God, our Maker and our Redeemer, we poor sinners confess unto you that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against you by thought, word, and deed. Wherefore we flee for refuge to your infinite mercy, seeking and imploring your grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ.
O most merciful God, who has given your only begotten Son to die for us, have mercy upon us, and for his sake grant us remission of all our sins, and by your Holy Spirit increase in us true knowledge of you, and of your will, and true obedience to your word, so that by your grace we may come to everlasting life, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, has had mercy upon us and has given his only Son to die for us, and for his sake forgives us all our sins. To those who believe on his name, he gives power to become the children of God and has promised them his Holy Spirit. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. Grant this, Lord, unto us all.
Amen. Shower, O heavens from above, and let the clouds rain down righteousness.
Let the earth open, that salvation and righteousness may bear fruit.
The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims his handiwork.
In them he has set a tent for the sun,
which comes out like a bridegroom leaving his chamber.
And like a strong man, runs his course with joy.
Its rising is from the ends of the heavens, and its circuit to the end of them.
And there is nothing hidden from his feet.
Power, O Lord, and come and help us by your might, that the sins which weigh us down may be quickly lifted by your grace and mercy. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Old Testament reading for the fourth Sunday in Advent is from the book of Samuel, the seventh chapter. Now when the king lived in his house, and the Lord had given him rest from all his surrounding enemies, the king said to Nathan the prophet, "See now, I dwell in a house of cedar, but the ark of God dwells in a tent." And Nathan said to the king, "Go, do all that is in your heart, for the Lord is with you." But that same night, the word of the Lord came to Nathan. "Go and tell my servant David, thus says the Lord, Would you build me a house to dwell in? I have not lived in a house since the day I brought up the people of Israel from Egypt to this day. But I have been moving about in a tent for my dwelling. In all places where I have moved with the people of Israel, did I speak a word with any of the judges of Israel, whom I commanded to shepherd my people Israel, saying, "Why have you not built me a house of cedar?" Now, therefore, thus you shall say to my servant David, thus says the Lord of hosts, I took you from the pasture, from following the sheep, that you should be prince over my people. And I have been with you wherever you went and have cut off your enemies from before you. And I will make you a great name, like the name of the great ones of the earth. And I will appoint a place for you, my people Israel, and will plant them so that they may dwell in their own place and be disturbed no more. And violent men shall afflict them no more as formerly, from the time that I appointed judges over my people Israel. And I will give you rest from all your enemies. Moreover, the Lord declares to you that the Lord will make you a house. And your house and your kingdom shall be made forever before me. Your throne shall be established forever. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
O Lord God of hosts, who is mighty as you are, O Lord?
Let your faithfulness all around you.
I will sing of the steadfast love of the Lord forever.
With my mouth I will make known your faithfulness to all generations.
For I said, steadfast love will be built up forever.
In the heavens you will establish your faithfulness.
You have said, I have made a covenant with my chosen one.
I have sworn to David my servant.
I will establish your offspring forever.
And build your throne for all generations.
Let the heavens praise your wonders, O Lord.
Your faithfulness in the assembly of the Holy Ones.
Of old you spoke in a vision to your godly one and said, I have granted help to one who is mighty.
I have exalted my chosen from the people.
I have found David, my servant.
With my holy oil I have anointed him.
So that my hand shall be established with him.
My arm also shall strengthen him.
The enemy shall not outwit him.
The wicked shall not hold him.
I will crush his foes before him.
And strike down those who hate him.
My faithfulness and my steadfast love shall be with him.
And in my name shall his horn be exalted.
I will set his hand on the sea.
And his right hand on the rivers.
He shall cry to me, you are my Father.
My God and the rock of my salvation.
And I will make him the firstborn.
The highest of the kings of the earth.
My steadfast love I will keep for him forever.
And my covenant will stand firm for him.
I will establish his offspring forever.
And his throne as the days of the heavens. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost. As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
O Lord God of hosts, who is mighty as you are, O Lord?
With your faithfulness all around you.
The reading from the letters is from St. Paul's letter to the church in Rome, the 16th chapter. Now, to him who is able to strengthen you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery that was kept secret for long ages, but has now been disclosed, and through the prophetic writings has been made known to all nations. According to the command of the eternal God to bring about the obedience of faith, the only wise God, be glory forevermore through Jesus Christ. Amen. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Hallelujah! Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call him
Emmanuel. Hallelujah!
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the first chapter. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren, for nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. This is the gospel of the Lord. Having heard the word, what do you believe?
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Thank you. and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Our text, again, from Luke chapter 1, especially verse 35. The angel answered Mary, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God." This is our text. Think for a minute about what God could have done. Had he wanted to, God could have sent more than 12 legions of angels into Nazareth. He could have acted with a great show of force and a dazzling display of might. And who would have stopped them? If he sent in 12 legions of angels, the Jewish freedom fighters would have melted away before the angelic hosts. The Roman legions would have been no match for them. After lighting up the night sky, they would have easily gained a foothold. From there, they could have pushed on to Jerusalem and beyond. Had he wanted to. But that's not how God chose to do it. Not this time. Not yet. Not like that. Instead of sending 12 legions of angels into Nazareth, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. Just one angel, one powerful angel, without warning, without fanfare, sent to the most unlikely place and the most unassuming person for a top secret meeting. How far would God go to carry out his plans? Think about all that God had already done long before he'd established the temple and the priesthood and the sacrifices. Such a glorious way of God coming to dwell with his people and forgive their sins. He'd given them kings to rule over them, especially David, a prince over God's people and a man after God's own heart. So powerful. He'd sent his prophets to proclaim his word, Elijah, Elisha, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and more. So striking in their lives and their message. Yet this time, would be different. He had another plan to execute. You might call it a special undercover operation. And it involved this young woman. The time had come. The angel came to her and said, "Rejoice, O favored one. The Lord is with you." I wonder what work the angel interrupted. What had Mary been doing the moment before? Maybe she was sweeping the house, washing clothes, cooking dinner. Did she drop a dish when the angel appeared and watch it shatter? You know, just the ordinary, everyday sorts of things that you and I do all the time. She wasn't doing anything special. Maybe she was praying, meditating on God's word. But there was nothing that said God was about to enlist her in his most important operation yet. Imagine if the angel had come to you while you were taking out the trash or singing a hymn in the car and greeted you like that. How would you react? Mary sure didn't know what to think. She was puzzling over those words. Rejoice. For what reason? Favored one. How am I favored? The Lord is with you. With me? Why indeed? Because of God's great love with which he loved her and with which he loves us. And that's when the angel Gabriel divulges the plan. I'd like to give it the name Operation Incarnation. God has chosen to enter enemy-occupied territory. God is about to establish a beachhead on earth. The rightful king, as C.S. Lewis once said, is landing in disguise to carry out a great campaign of sabotage against the powers of darkness, sin, and death. And it begins with her, with this woman, with her womb. Don't be afraid, Mary, for you found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. But what if Mary had stopped the angel right there and said, "Hey, wait a minute, what do you mean? My body, my choice. You can't use my life for this special operation. Hands off, tell God to find someone else. He can take his plan elsewhere." What if Mary had said that? But she didn't. She listened to what the angel said. She was amazed at what the angel said. She wondered at it. And the angel went on, "Your son will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end." How will God establish this forever kingdom? How will he carry out his reign and his rule on earth? How will he push back the darkness, atone for sin, defeat the devil, and overpower death? He does it by making the first breach in Mary's womb. It will be through her child, a son, this Jesus. He will be the light shining in the darkness, a light that no darkness can overcome. This is what the angel Gabriel announces, that God's great invasion begins here, in the womb of Mary. 9 months before Christmas, it was first launched, conceived, with this announcement from the angel to her. And in due time, it would come to birth. God comes to redeem, to rescue his creation, and he starts with her. He starts in her. He starts through her. And you heard what the angel said, teaching her about who her child would be, teaching her about what this child would do, the Son of the Most High, reigning on a throne, the throne of his father David, forever. It's all a bit much, isn't it? Overwhelming. I imagine Mary's head just spinning around, and all she can say is, but, how can this be? I'm a virgin. She knows how nature works, and she's never known a man not like that. How could she possibly have a child? So the angel tells her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God." And with those words, it happens. God, who spoke light and life into being, now causes her to conceive by a word. The Son of God enters her womb through her ear. God has taken on flesh inside of this young woman, and now she is the mother of God. And the Savior dwells within her womb. It's the last thing she expected. The very last thing. It's the last thing we would expect. If you were looking for God to carry out a grand invasion of the world, the last place you would have looked was there, in Mary's womb. You would have looked everywhere else, in palaces and among kings and at the temple and with priests and the rabbis and synagogues. But God chooses to use this young woman and her child. Truly, his thoughts aren't your thoughts, and his ways aren't our ways. As the heavens are higher than the earth, his ways are higher than ours, and his thoughts than our thoughts. And it is wonderful to behold. And then to confirm what the angel had said, he gives her a sign. Your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God. Nothing will be impossible. It isn't a statement of all the things that you or I might dream of. God isn't saying, nothing will be impossible for you, or all of your dreams will come true, but nothing will be impossible for me. Nothing will be impossible with God. He can dream up and do whatever he wants. He can even make an old woman or a virgin conceive and have a son. But perhaps the greatest miracle of all is what happens next. Mary says, behold, I'm the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. Which is to say that Mary ends by saying, amen. This is most certainly true. She believes it, every single word of it. For God to become man is one thing, but for a man or a woman to believe it is another. And both are God's work. This is why Mary can be called the first New Testament Christian. She's the first one to hear that the Savior will be born of her, and she believes it. You could say that she's the paradigm of the church. She's the model of all who believe. You would do well this Christmas season to put Mary's words in your mouth. Behold, I am your servant. Let it be to me according to your word. And say amen. And this is most certainly true to what God says. 30-some years later, a woman during Jesus' ministry raises her voice and says to him, blessed is the womb that bore you and the breasts at which you nursed. But Jesus sets that woman straight. He points to the real cause of blessedness for Mary and for us. Blessed, rather, are those who hear the word of God and keep it. And that's exactly what Mary did. She heard the word of God. She believed it. She kept it. She treasured it. Certainly in her womb, but also in her heart and in her mind. She believed. And the angel departed from her. His assignment was over. His work was finished. What God needed to do, he was going to do in another way and not through an angel. I picture Mary returning to her work, picking up her broom, the pieces of that dish that fell and broke, going back to daily life, to the mundane world, returning to what she'd been doing previously. But what God was doing inside of her had only just begun. In fact, what started there with Mary continues to this very day. Operation Incarnation hasn't ended. It's still ongoing. From Mary's womb to the cross, to the tomb, to the skies, and now enthroned at the right hand of the Father in heaven. He's still at work, still bringing his eternal kingdom, still pushing back that darkness, still forgiving sins, still stopping the devil's mouth, still promising resurrection and life to those who live in the midst of death. Yes, the darkness is deep. The shadows are long. But you, of all people, you know what God is up to. You're part of the resistance. You have pledged allegiance to King Jesus, and you belong to his kingdom. You have told the devil to get out of here and go to hell, and you have told death that it cannot have you, and you have told your sins that they are not your master. Your God has shared with you the plans for this special operation, not just the beginning of it, but the whole of it. And this same Jesus, who was conceived of the Virgin Mary, the Holy One, the Son of God, the Most High, David's greater Son, ruler over the house of Jacob, and King of a kingdom without end, this same Jesus, with that same body and blood, continues the invasion here. He breaks through from heaven to earth into your ordinary everyday life. Rejoice, O favored ones, the Lord is with you. And we wonder, who am I? And how shall this be? And why? Because he loves you. And so he comes to you today. He comes to your ears as he came to Mary, but he comes to you also in a new and different way because he enters into your mouth with the bread and wine. Nothing will be impossible for God, not even for the Son of God, to give you his body and blood under these earthly means. So that what he began in the Virgin Mary, he continues here, now, with you, with your body, with your life. You are part of his invasion force. You are, as Jesus said, the salt of the earth because you are seasoned with Christ Jesus himself. You are the light of the world, for his light shines in and through you. The kingdom of God is not retreating. The kingdom of God is not on the defensive. It is coming. Coming by his holy word and by his holy sacrament and making you his holy people. Don't be afraid, Christian, for you found favor with God through Jesus Christ, the one conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. Don't be afraid, but be bold and be courageous, for even now your King sits on the throne and his kingdom is coming to you by grace. So live as his people. Live as though your sins are forgiven, because they are. Live as one who is free, because you are. Live as if the kingdom belongs to you, because it does. Live as though you will live forever, because you will. You will live under him in his kingdom and serve him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness. This is his plan. This is the operation that he began when the angel came to the Virgin Mary. And soon, very soon, the Son of Man, Jesus, is going to come with his angels in the glory of his Father, in the culmination of what began there. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace that passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.
I will offer the thanksgiving sacrifice and call on the name of the Lord.
O Lord, my strength, I love you.
Let us pray for the whole Church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. O Lord, our God, nothing is impossible with you. Grant us faith to believe your word and follow the example of your servant Mary to receive the miraculous gift of your Son, our Emmanuel. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Eternal God, your word has been sent forth into the world to the joy and benefit of your holy people. Encourage, comfort, and strengthen all who hear it. Grant faith to those who do not know you, both here and abroad, that all people may praise your name and extol your goodness. By the power of the Holy Spirit, fill all who hear your word with joy and peace in believing. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
O Lord, our God, bless Matthew, our Synod President, Robert, our District President, Paul, our Circuit Visitor, and our pastors, that like the angel Gabriel, they may be faithful messengers of your good news. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
O Lord, our God, let your favor rest upon all pregnant women, especially Stephanie and Shayla. Thank you for the birth of Samson, Alex, to Seth and Rachel. Grant health and joy as they await your saving promises for him in holy baptism. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Lord of Lords, by the reign of your Son, you govern all things in heaven and earth. Raise up true rulers among us to govern our land in faithfulness and in humble strength to do your will. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
O Lord, our God, thank you for hearing our prayers on behalf of Louise. Now uphold Dee, Hannah, Gail, Ed, Bunny, Ray, Michelle, Amy, Stan, Luann, Amanda, Hattie, Blair, Dan, and Patty, and all who suffer in mind or body. Give them the knowledge of Christ, their Emmanuel, who is with them in their trials. Grant them health and healing in accord with your perfect will. Lord, in your mercy. Merciful Father, your Son provides light and hope amid the darkness of death. Grant your peace and comfort to the Simeone and Dooley families, especially to Gino, Keith, Carrie and Tony, Kathy, Aaron, Kate, and John, and their family and friends as they mourn for Linda and John. Help all who are grieving, lonely, sad, or in need. Lighten their darkness by the gracious visitation of our Lord Jesus and grant them peace. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord our God, give us joy that as surely as your Son was conceived in Blessed Mary at your word, so he comes to abide in us also at your word in the Blessed Sacrament. Lord, in your mercy. O God, you make us glad with the yearly remembrance of the birth of your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. Grant that as we joyfully receive him as our Redeemer, we may with sure confidence behold him when he comes to be our judge. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of all creation, for you have had mercy on us and given your only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. In your boundless mercy, you sent your Son, your servant John the Baptist, to proclaim that in Christ the kingdom of heaven draws near. With thankful hearts we pray, come, Lord Jesus, confident that in his body and blood given us to eat and drink, we receive the forgiveness of sins, and so proclaim his death
until he comes again in glory. Hear us as we pray in his name and as he has taught us.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way, also, he took the cup after supper. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Your throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of your kingdom is a scepter of uprightness. You have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness beyond your companions. Your robes are all fragrant with myrrh and aloes and cassia. From ivory palaces, stringed instruments make you glad. Daughters of kings are among your ladies of honor. At your right hand stands the queen in gold of Ophir. Hear, O daughter, and consider and incline your ear. Forgive your people and your father's house. And the king will desire your beauty since he is your lord. Bow to him. The people of Tyre will seek your favor with gifts, the riches of the people. All glorious is the princess in her chamber with robes interwoven with gold. In many colored robes she is led to the king, with her virgin companions following behind her
for the forgiveness.
With joy and gladness they are led along as they enter the palace of the king. In place of your fathers shall be your sons. You'll make them princes in all the earth. I will cause your name to be remembered in all generations. Therefore, nations will praise you forever and ever. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Your throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of your kingdom is a scepter of uprightness.
Thank you.
the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in body and soul, the life everlasting. Depart in peace. For the post-communion hymn, we sing from the hymnal, hymn number 275, 275.
To the Lord. He is good. Let us pray. We thank you, all-powerful God, for refreshing us with this healing gift. And we pray, Father of mercy, by this holy food, make us strong in faith toward you and in deep love for each other, that through us, other beloved sinners may kneel to you and receive with us grace and life in Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
Bless we the Lord.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Amen.